Blog Talk Radio.
May your struggles keep you near the cross, and may your trouble show that you need God, and may your God is good, and may your whole life prove that God is good. See, may your struggles keep you near the cross, and may your
y'all so much for coming out.
May your bad days prove that God
You're listening to the Spirit Alive Ministries Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I'm Apostle Shalene Cook, and it truly blesses my soul to welcome you all here tonight for another installation of Wounded No More with Pastor Vanessa Carver for this Thursday, January 25th. 2024. So my brothers and sisters, I hope you are ready to receive a blessing. Please get something to write with and to write on, and retrieve your Bibles and get ready to receive a word from the woman of God, Pastor Vanessa Carver. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Apostle Cook, and good evening, everybody. Welcome back to Wounded No More. And this is our first official segment about blessings and generational blessings and generational curses. Keep in mind, you can't talk about one without the other. And if you are talking about, because I guess traditionally in my lifetime, and I'm in my 50s, I always would hear about generational curses all the time, especially when I started to serve. But I never heard a lot about generational blessings until probably maybe the last 10 years of my life right now, then people started to intentionally teach on those things. And I truly believe with the studying that I have done, and I'm not by any means done, but the things that I have done in research and read is that you shouldn't be able to talk about one without the other. And in the Bible, there are so many examples of both. And we need to be able to teach those and be able to explain and just meditate on what that is and what that and how that translates to us now today because of who we are in Christ. And so when I was thinking about all the different things that I could have taught, this thing was first and foremost because everything that I teach or present or we talk about on Wounded No More is to keep us in a place of growth. It's always to make us know, because we're not wounded no more, we become knowledgeable and apply that knowledge and walk in the wisdom of the word. So just like we did a series about mental health, a lot of that was just giving us, exposing us to knowledge that maybe, you know, every day we wouldn't think about as it pertains to mental health and mental wellness and mental illness. And so to empower us, because we still are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And so how do we apply all that stuff that we know into what God is saying to us, and how does it enhance our lives, how we minister to others? Because it's not just about us, it's about others around us. And we do influence people whether we realize it or not, whether that is our intent or not. And especially as servant leaders, we definitely are influencing people. So the more that we know spiritually, not just to load up and hoard information and not to walk in love with what we know, because knowledge without love puffs up. So you just got all this knowledge, but it's not doing any good. So my whole intent is to inform, to empower, to intercede, and to pray. And of course, every time I do these sessions or do these series, it represents some personal things, and you'll hear me share as I do. But also there's a lot of breakthrough and revelation and healing that go into me preparing. And I thank God for that, because it's like he'll say, I want you to teach this. And I'm like, okay, I'll teach it. And sometimes it's something that is not related to what's going on in my life. And those types of lessons are real easy to teach. But when it's something that touches me real close to the bone, those are the messages that are, I believe, can be the most powerful and the most transformative in nature based upon what God is doing, because I'm in conjunction with him. We're partners. So I just want you to be blessed by this, by these teachings. The first one is going to be called The Anatomy of a Curse. And we're going to talk about sin a little bit. I'm not going to get too deep, because I believe every time I teach, one of the ways, especially when I realize that this is a loaded topic, because it is, I found it to be very loaded and very layered. I am not here to take every piece apart and answer every question. I am discovering so much, even as I'm preparing and studying on my own. Before I presented this as a lesson, I was studying this on my own. This is my own personal study. So sometimes it will reflect that. You'll hear that. You know, I will sometimes break down and cry just because of the things that God is showing me. And that happened to me about a couple of days ago. And I'll share that too. But this is something that people in the body of Christ, now I'm talking about those in the body, those who are the righteousness of God, those who have committed and submitted themselves to the Lord, we are not subject to that curse, because Jesus did die. Christ had redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. It is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. There are different things that Jesus took. Just like sin, he took that to the cross so that we are no longer slaves to the repercussions of sin. And it's the same thing as a curse. A curse is just, sin will produce a curse. And that's really what we want to talk about. I'm going to just touch on a little bit, and I might go deeper next time. But we need to talk about sin, and as children of God, and I'm not talking about somebody that's not a believer or who is not a disciple of Christ. I'm talking about those in Christ. How we are empowered through the Holy Spirit, but many times the curse, the presence of a curse, whether it's in our bloodline, whether it is through ignorance, or whether it's by invitation, things that we have engaged in that will sometimes have an effect on our life, in our walk with God. And we're thinking sometimes it's not even generational. Sometimes it's something that we've done. Sometimes it is, like I said, in our bloodline. And so I feel like you have to be willing to listen, pray about this, these issues that you may see that are generational, that are in your bloodline, or things that you are not aware of. Like if you say, I don't understand what I'm looking at, you know, things that you may be struggling with in your own self that have nothing to do with family, and things that you've accessed legally or that are playing out in your life. Jesus died so we can be free from the effects of sin and the effects of curse. Of a curse that may be in your bloodline that have not, you don't even know nothing about. So you have to be willing, if this is something that God has put on your heart to be an investigator of sorts, to get understanding, to gain what is this operating. And I'm gonna tell you, the Lord will begin to show you things. I've had dreams over years about different things in my family. There are things that happened to me, and then it's like I would especially when it seems like it follows you, especially when you see it activated in your kids and different things. Now, some people would say physical things like maybe diabetes. That's an example of something that is in your bloodline. It's not necessarily cursed. If you manage it right, you can. You don't have to be affected by diabetes. It's really a diet, a dietary thing. It can be many things that can eradicate diabetes. Of being overweight. Now, I'm just giving you an example of some things that people might say is operating at in their family. And everybody deals with it. Every bloodline, every generation is dealing with this physical thing. But I'm talking about spiritual things too. And mental illness would be an example of that. And then we can go on and further and talk about divorce, or we can talk about addiction. Things like that, right, as it pertains to generational in your bloodline. And all those negative things come from sin. They come from sin. They come from unrepented, premeditated, unconfessed sin. And so here you are, a child of God, whether you've been, you know, in Christ for a while or you just got in Christ, and you start to realize or recognize the things that you're struggling with. Keep in mind, you're not under a curse. You may be under an influence of the presence of a curse in your life because of ignorance, because you don't know, or you never paid attention to certain things. A lot of times, you know, when he says in Christ, God is, we are a new creation. He's made all things new. It's almost like we begin to wake up to certain things. We become more sensitive, and darkness cannot penetrate the light. So there are certain things that because of our walk with God, we'll be able to see in our family or even in ourselves that we didn't realize, what is this and why is it here? You know, and some of it is inherited. Some of it is people doing things in sin that they didn't realize because they were ignorant. And then by invitation, things you involved yourself in that opened up doors you need to close. You know, and this is why you need to do some investigation. So I'm going to pray this prayer as well. And just to let you know that a lot of things, we can't do anything without the Lord. And of course, as we find out things, take notes, do whatever it is, take some prayer time, take some of this to prayer, to intercessory prayer, where you may go a little bit deeper. Maybe this will draw you into a place where you may be doing some consecration and you may need to fast. Whatever it is, that's not for me to say. That's for you to listen to God and be obedient to him. But I'm just going to pray right now. Holy Spirit, you're the Spirit of truth, and it's through you, the Holy Scriptures, that were inspired and written. And so you're the author of Revelation. And I ask you to remove all blinders, veils, and scales over our understanding. Recalibrate our understanding as we read your word. And you're the holy teacher. You're the paraclete. So give us the spirit of wisdom and insight into heaven's illustrations, shadows, figures, and mysteries of the kingdom hidden all throughout the scriptures. As we read the word, reveal to us where we have generational curses and operating in our life, and show
yes.
us the strategy to deactivate, remove, dismantle them. Lord Jesus, thank you for setting us free, showing us
yes,
how
Lord.
To remain free from every curse in your name. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. So,
amen.
At the end of the day, we need to understand that he is the author and finisher of our faith. A lot of times we read over things. We don't think they apply to us. And so there's only a couple of scriptures that I'm going to share, and there may be some that come up as I'm sharing what I'm sharing that you may need to go to that will give you some insight. And you know what? I think of by invitation, things that are active in our lives, it's because of ignorance, and it's because of the choices that we made, choices we made before we were saved, choices we made while we were saved in ignorance. Right? Even the things that we are in agreement with and we realize I wasn't in agreement with that, but the Holy Spirit will show you, he'll shine lights on things. And so this is not for us to amplify sin. This is not for us to these lessons are not to amplify sin, not to amplify the devil, not to amplify the past or mistakes you made or what case may be. I do want to reiterate that, and I will be repeating that from time to time, because this is not what my intent is for. It is to empower us, to enlighten us, and make us better, and keep us closer to God. If we feel like there's some distance or there's some, even with our relationships and our families, you know, God may have given you insight about some things that are operating in your family that you can't do anything about other than to pray, because people make their own choices at the end of the day. And if you had an opportunity where you were to sit down and begin to talk to that relative or that friend or whatever and tell them what God has shown you, walks off, you know, let the authority of God's word and how he's leading you be the biggest communicator, not you, because you can't fix it. A lot of times you can bring it to light, but it's not your job to fix it. So I just want everybody to know that even to know something will enable you to dismantle it and only go so far. So I don't want anybody to be discouraged or overwhelmed at all. Just understand we're learning together. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, for he hath made us to be sin. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made righteousness of God in him. So just like I said, we have to keep remembering what Christ did is complete. He did his work. He did his part. He freed us from the effects and being enslaved and having, you know, impulses that we couldn't control to sin and to anything that is produced from sin. But also, there's this thing about levels of sin and degrees of sin that we need to understand. Anytime there's a covenant that's broken, I think there's a principle about covenant that makes me think of, okay, you broke covenant, you know, that right there is going to introduce you to some things, some negative things. You made a covenant before God, now you're breaking it. And if we look in the Bible of many times or many warnings that they got about breaking covenant and the judgment that came upon them, sometimes the judgment is all it is. There's a judgment and it's done. But sometimes there's things that follow them all the rest of their life. When I think about Cain and the things that he did, you know, Cain and Abel, the story of Cain and Abel and how he killed his brother and different things that followed him all the rest of his life and his bloodline because of what he did, murdering his son, murdering his brother. So there's certain things, you know, the commandments came, the covenant between Moses and God, and there were 10 commandments that they were given. And as you look at those and all the different laws that even came after that, there's a reason. There's the repercussions that are connected to covenant and the promise and the things that we have more than an agreement. You know what I mean? More than just a contract. A covenant is a sacred thing. And next time I will go more into detail about covenant and our relationship with God. And there's different examples of covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, the Mosaic covenant, all throughout the Old Testament. I think there's like five major ones that I can think of right now. But they all had stipulations for breaking them. There were repercussions for when they were broken. And so when we realize that there's things in our family or things that we've broken, and I will be the first to say that there was a covenant I broke when I was married and I cheated. So I broke a covenant, and there were repercussions that I'm still paying for to this day. Now, God is a merciful God, but he doesn't change his mind about things. And it was a premeditated sin. It was something that I knew was wrong and did it anyway. So there are certain things that I am still paying for. Yes, I'm still, you know, God is cleaning me from unrighteousness and all these things, and I still feel blessed. But there are repercussions that you can't take back because those are laws. And so there's things that we did before we were saved, before we were committed to God, that still we're being affected by. I want to also, because of the presence of a curse, is things that sometimes we did, sometimes things our relatives did and didn't repent of and didn't confess, that we're still dealing with. To understand the root of a thing is part of understanding the anatomy of sin, and I mean the iniquity and the mystery of sin itself. So we can't have one without the other. We have to talk about generational curses and blessings together. We have to talk about cycles and hidden patterns that are in our family that we still see. If somebody was to sit down, you know how a lot of our ancestry in African American lives is oral history. There's stories that have been passed down. There's things that we didn't know, like maybe that we didn't realize were in our families until somebody who is the one to carry the stories. And you realize that happened to great grandma, or, you know, and you like, I'm going through that now, or why doesn't anyone talk about those types of things? But I think when we begin to talk about them in Christ, we could understand and come against them and work against the repercussions of what they are. I do want to also talk about, there's going to be five different things that I talk about when we talk about sin. God keeps dealing with me and saying, just try to outline really briefly about the repercussions of sin and the different levels of sin that, so like I said, you know, there's judgment that comes. And sometimes the judgment seems harsher than the sin, than the curse that's operating. We're like, whoa, that judgment was absolutely hard. Yeah, but it's God, one of the ways that he cleans us from all unrighteousness is judgment has to come. He's not going to change being who he is. He loves us and all of this. And when we are submitted to him, we have to understand that his nature is not going to change. He still loves us, but there are certain things we're only going to learn through judgment. I think that, you know, even when we decide to give our life to God, there's only certain things that we're going to learn. I want to talk about we'll talk about violations. Let me see if I can find it. There's some things that I've been studying, and I'm getting a lot of, I'll tell you where I'm getting some of my resources from to teach this, is from a book by Alexander Pagani, P-A-G-A-N-I, and he wrote a book called The Secrets to Generational Curses. It's one of the best books I've read about this topic. There are others that I'm still going to be researching, but this is a really good one. This came out last year, and he did a really good job. But even in him doing this, I could tell that there's some things in here that are not complete, because this is one of those topics, like I said, this is a loaded topic. There's a lot of things in here, even as it pertains to theology, that some people are not in agreement with, which I am not here to be debating about any of that. But I said, Lord, you lead me to truth. You're the ones that take the scales off of our eyes, like I prayed. You're the one that helps us dismantle and know what we can do and leave the rest to you, okay? But we need to understand this, because I see a lot of people operating out of ignorance in areas where they need to be free, you know. And I realize there may be some generational stuff there going on, or there may be something unrepented sin, or something needs to be renounced. And these are not mechanics. These are just all a part of coming against the legality of what the enemy tries to do in our lives. When things are present, it's like, yeah, because they, by invitation, that's why that stuff is there. They're still operating in it. So until they stop operating in it, I have every right to be here. And that's what he will do. So hold on just a minute. I'm looking for the different levels. We're going to talk about that. I had it marked to see degrees of obedience and curses. This is one of those areas, too, where God was speaking to me while I'm studying and telling me about, you know, even about rebellion and what that is. And we're going to talk about what rebellion is as it pertains to degrees of sin. He wrote a section in his book called Degrees of Sin, and he highlights four areas. Violation is one of them. It's a breach, infringement, or transgression as a law, rule, promise, or desecration, profanation. The pathway to sin always begins with a violation, an act of being irreverent concerning what God has outlined in his law. You know, that's just like so. But if committed frequently, violations can lead to sin, to bigger sins. The act of violating implies unintentional wrongdoing sometimes. It's just unintentional, yet not enough to warrant anything more than a fine. This is a natural definition, more than a fine or a verbal chastisement or like a warning, right? So say you get caught speeding and the police pulls you over and you tell him, I didn't even realize I was speeding, or I'm on my way to work or whatever, and he judges that and says, okay, I'm just going to give you a warning. There's a violation, you know, but you don't get a ticket. So you get warned. Now, that's what a violation could be. If the believer continues in these violations, different things that they may do, so many people might even call them faults, what a violation is, then they will lead to sin. And when we start talking about sin, sin is missing the mark, falling short. This is sometimes unintentional disobedience expressed through our nature, our willful nature. And a lot of times when you're not saved, I mean, when you are saved or newly saved, you're struggling with that. There's things, the war is going on in your flesh that you are still need to be free from. So a lot of people that are new to the walk will deal with, you know, different levels of disobedience or falling into sin. They may not be practicing anymore, but they may be have urges and certain things that they fall back into. So when a believer crosses the threshold of the violation, enters the realm of sin, things begin on a totally different level, and it's because of the nature. Sin is wrong, though not malicious at times, it's still wrong and it displeases God. So the book of James, if we go to James 1, verses 14 through 15, temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death, spiritual death. So that's in James 1, verses 14 through 15. And then Paul, in Romans 7:19, he says, how Paul would say, what I desire to do, I don't do, and what I hate, I find myself doing, which means, in essence, that our sinful nature, which I mentioned before, is already bent on fulfilling its tendencies, and we have to die daily. We have to kill our flesh, you know, and that's a discipline that we, whatever it is, you have to discipline, and you have to kill your flesh daily. Otherwise, it will rise up. It wants what it wants. But committing sinful acts might not necessarily cause there to be judgment or generational curse. Now, that, I'm out on that because when I say out, I don't know if I agree or disagree with that. I guess it just depends. So some of the language in this book that I'm reading and I will be referencing is, you could tell he's discovering these, as the name of the book is called to the secrets of two generational curses. So there's some things that you can tell God gave him great revelation, and then there's some things that he's still trying to figure out himself, trying to get more understanding of too. When you move beyond the level of sin, so we went from violation to sin to transgression, how are you treading on, then you're in a whole nother territory. So transgression in the Hebrew word is P-A-S-H-A, Pasha. It means to rebel, transgress, revolt. It implies a breach of a trust. And this is willful, intentional disobedience. You know that scripture that talks about rebellion is as witchcraft. You know, and there are certain things that when you get into, he's right, when you get into that level of sin, that's a whole different thing. And it feels like it's a whole different thing. And it creates and generates all types of ideologies and things that are against the word of God and actions. And so in Hebrews 10, 26 through 27, it says, dear friends, if we willfully continue sinning, after we have received knowledge of the truth, there is no longer any sacrifice that will cover these sins. There is only the terrible expectation of God's judgment and the raging fire that will consume his enemies. Now, man, when I tell you rebellion can be in your whole bloodline, because you see it act out in all kinds of different ways, you know, and of course, pride and all that kind of thing, whatever it is, whatever made the person rebellious or makes us do rebellious things, we're walking in a whole different place, and you feel it. You feel, sometimes we feel, you know, real powerful, and then, but then the repercussions of rebellion is not a joke. I'm here to say that for real. And it can be active in our life for a very long time, and that's one of those things. It's not always generational. It can be, but not necessarily, you know, how it plays out and what it looks like. And the scripture is pretty clear. When a person begins to commit transgressions or live in open transgressions or open rebellion in this case, it's usually the result of being willfully disobedient. You know to do right, but you go left. Somebody tells you, you know, when I read the book of Proverbs, a lot of times it reads as a father telling his son what to do and what not to do. And he tells him also the repercussions. And so, because he knows, look, these are the choices. And Jesus, you know, also, God told us a lot of things like that, too. He says, if you choose life, here's death and here's life, choose life. All through the Old Testament, there were choices, which is why I said earlier, choices that you make to do. And, of course, we see the willful, open rebellion that the children of Israel did all through the Old Testament. And we see the repercussions of their willful disobedience. I think in Hosea where he said they rejected me and the knowledge of me, and God was saying, you know, this is why judgment's come, because they rejected me and the knowledge of who I am. And so that's transgressions, and it has the potential to initiate generationally. It will come in our bloodline, and it leads to a level of iniquity. Now, as we talk about iniquity, that's premeditated choices with no regard for the consequences or repentance resulting in modifying of the genetic, even can modify and change our DNA of the persons giving themselves over to such sin. Now, when I read about iniquity, I was like, because that usually is, I think me and my husband had this discussion a long time ago. We were trying to make the distinction between iniquity and transgressions. And we talked about things that keep showing up in your bloodline. What could that be? And I think we did say iniquity. And because these are things that will show up in your DNA and cause a person to become the sin that dominates them. We can see in 2 Thessalonians where Paul says the Antichrist will be called the mystery of iniquity, meaning he will be the living embodiment of the devil, literally Satan walking among us. You are of your, you know, in John 8:44, he says, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father, you want to carry his nature. And I think that was a reference to Jesus talking about the Sanhedrin.
and because there was a historical precedent that the Jewish leaders, religious leaders, were killing the prophets, and he was addressing that. He said, "You're the father of the devil. The things that you guys have done has followed from generation to generation. You killed," he said, "you killed prophets before me," and he knew they were going to kill Jesus. Mm-hmm. So they were still operating mm-hmm. in this iniquity. So during the time mm-hmm. of Christ, the Israelites had a hard time receiving Jesus' ministry. And but because they lived for so long in rebellion to God's law, then they made up their own traditions, right? So this is another way how you see how maybe personal sin, not necessarily familiar sin, even how that plays out in our communities and in our churches and in our ministries, you will see this stuff in operation. And you're like, what is this? Is this just years of people just being ignorant? Is this years of people just not understanding? Or is this years of people giving access to or mixing things together and calling it Christianity when it's not? Which I would talk about syncretism. And they're just willfully doing what they want to do, and they know it's wrong. And they're trying to and they've convinced other people to follow along with that. But see, this will get into structures that we see today play out in our lives and even in the organizations and things that we're a part of. We're wondering why we keep seeing divorces in certain churches or in certain denominations. Why do we keep seeing teen pregnancy in certain communities and certain things and violence and different things like that? Look closer and see where that comes from. Some things do come from, they're systemic and they're intentional, but some things are really curses in operation. An abomination is the last section, and it talks about that which is loathed or detested and therefore utterly offensive to the Lord. This fifth level of sin is the most loathed by God and only produces a generational curse 100% of the time. Okay? So it is here where a person doesn't care and commits acts, and this is just like open rebellion, that even God himself finds detestable. Various sins are considered abominations, such as sins that are hated by God, and about them he will never change his mind. What's interesting is that many of these sins are things modern civilization takes pride in committing the most. And here, so he'll give examples of different things that we see that people accept. And if you speak against it, you, especially when it comes to culture, it's hate talk. It's hate mongering. It's even people, consider it being something that's a human rights violation because you speak against certain things. And that's culture, and that's what the world will do. We need to be knowledgeable about the things that are being played out in the world and what they really are versus what the world is telling us to accept, and we shouldn't be conformed by this world. And we have to keep the statutes and understand that judgment usually comes in these areas where there's open rebellion. People might be thinking, why are you teaching us to the body of Christ? We don't have these issues. This don't apply to us. Why are you teaching this to us? Because this stuff is playing out in the body of Christ. We see so much of it. All I just ask you to do is go to social media and look at the different things that we see. And don't be absorbed with it, because some of it is just hype. And it's to draw your attention away from God. But some of it is just the world being the world, and there's certain things that have creeped into the body of Christ, and he said that would be. So we have to understand that most things, I would say the good thing about social media is that most things aren't hidden. A lot of things are getting exposed because they need to get exposed so they can get addressed. So we talked about the degrees of sin. And I want you to understand that the more that you understand about sin and how it plays out in your life, even as you're a child of God or around you, the more that it can help you know how to pray. It can help you know that we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's in 1 John 1:9. So there are certain things. Don't keep nothing secret. Don't keep nothing hidden. And he said, you know, we are, there's certain things that he does to keep us from righteousness, renouncing things, confessing things, repentance. I think towards the end of the year, I will be teaching about repentance, total repentance, and how that's something that I think I remember Bishop Cook talking about. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle, living in a place where you're in total repentance for different things, not because, you know, you're doing things in your own strength, but just to know that keep your heart clean, know how to be honest with God in prayer, and know that that is first and foremost so important. And when we do pray for others, let's take ourselves there first and begin to pray over ourselves. So there's certain things that should just be part of our lifestyle. We don't have to be concerned, overly concerned, really, about curses and how they operate in our lives, and do our best ability to expose those things in ourselves so that those things are not operating in the background, so to speak, for what we do and how we do them. Because God is such a good God, and some people don't want to know certain things about themselves or about their family. They want to, if it feels right, they want it to look right and everything else, but they're not really invested in the work that they're going to take. This is a progressive thing, this progressive sanctification. And so that's why it's important to talk about generational curses and generational blessings. You know, when God tells us to choose between life and death, of course, when we choose life, there are generational blessings. There are things that come to us that keep us in a place of peace, keep us connected, keep us progressing, keep us in growth, keep us, you know, prospering, different things like that. And there was because of choices that were deliberately made, and we did not break covenant, or that family didn't break covenant. And when that family broke covenant, this is what it looked like. So we're going to next week, or next time I teach, I'm going to bring some, maybe two or three different biblical, go a little bit deeper with the biblical examples of generational blessings and curses and how they operate. Like I said, it's all through the Bible. It really is all throughout the Word of God. Anytime he says, bless your children and your children's children, and this shall be, you know, especially in the books of the prophets, they talk about generational judgment, and they also talk about generational blessings. And they do in restoration. Those things. And I don't believe in all the word is everything that's every word of God is for us today. So yeah. Some people want to say that the Old Testament is not relevant to us. I don't believe in that. It is. There's so much that we can learn. These are shadows. These are harbingers and signs of things. And we definitely know the nature of God is the same as it was as in the Old Testament. So his nature is the same. And there's principles that we have to understand that we're working under or that still apply to us today. The anatomy of a curse, the presence of a curse, legal access to a curse, uprooting a curse, and understanding cycles and patterns, and understanding that they can be broken in your life and over your life. Now, maybe you feel like, okay, you know how there's things that we say, like, not on my watch, this ain't going to happen to my family, or these things are not going to operate any further over my children and over my grandchildren. And I want to share one last thing with you all that happened while I was studying. A couple of years ago, I wrote a book called Covenant. And all Covenant was is a collection of poems that are about vows, promises, curses, and blessings. So the poems were all separated based on those topics that had to do with me and my family and friends and different things, just my personal life. And so as I'm studying this and I'm reading about transgression and rebellion and how that played out in my own life, it brought me to tears because I began to think of my grandmother. My grandmother died, I'm older than my grandmother. She died when I was 11 years old, and she was 53, I think, and she died of alcoholism. And I love my grandmother to death. I love my grandmother. She wasn't the most affectionate person, but I loved her. And even as a child, I was very sensitive to her, which means there was things going on with her that I didn't understand. Not just the alcoholism, but I later found out that she had serious depression. She had probably chronic depression. But then when you know about her life and how she lived down south, which I found that out too as I got an adult, it was a lot of trauma, a lot of trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And so she died early and prematurely. And as I began to write certain things about my grandmother, it just brought me to tears. And I think that was the beginning of God just dealing with my heart about family and healing and restoration. And so when I wrote Covenant, which was in the making 10 years before I actually wrote it, not understanding it, it led me to study deeper on a spiritual level about generational blessings and generational curses. So the things in our family, the things that God, you know, the Holy Spirit will have you laser, you'll have like laser attention to certain things. And I'm like, all my life, it seemed like it won't let go of me. I know God wants people to be free. God wants people to not be their past. He wants them to be who they are in Him, and their identity can be wrapped up in trauma, you know? And I realized she was of a certain age and from a certain time where African Americans went through a whole lot, and they still do, but it was very brutal and very cruel, you know? And so she drank a lot. And she had depression, which that's how she treated her depression, was to drink. And she drank herself to death. And so I realized that if she could see me now and I could talk to my grandmother, I know God has done a work. You know, there's things in our family that we can uncover and expose, and that my grandkids will not have a grandmother who drank herself to death.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it gives the generation. And so these are the types of things we have to give God praise for.
Yeah.
They are usually very raw. They are usually very deep and hurtful. But just like we've been studying about, you know, trauma and PTSD and things of that nature, see how all of that led to this?
It goes together.
It's also connected, isn't it, Apostle Cook?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that
we
have to think, it's not circumstance. No, but he has given us all things. He has
mm-hmm.
given us all things. And so I just thank God for the insight, and I thank God for allowing me to share. And I want to open it up for any questions or any comments, Apostle Cook.
Amen. Amen. Well, if you are in the studio tonight, and you have a comment or a question, just press your 1. If you are in the chat room and you have a comment or question, because as Pastor said, this is a very layered topic, but we want you to have clarity and understanding. So if you're in the chat room and you want to ask a question, you can call 714-364-4337. And you can ask a question. And while I scroll, Pastor Vanessa, I just so enjoyed this because, you know, like you said, people do not want to look at their family. But you know what? When we, you know, everybody said you need to know your family history. You need to know your family history.
Mm-hmm.
We do that for medical things. Well,
right.
We need to do the same exact thing with spiritual things.
Yes,
you know,
we do.
I know that my family has a history of cancer and diabetes. Well, since I know that that's part of my family pathology, I'm not going to be sitting around eating sugar. And you know, I knew if I did not want that to be my fate, I would have to do something differently.
Different, right.
And this is what I'm loving about this study. You are going to empower people through the Holy Spirit to see and to really look at some of these things that they can break that cycle. They can be the one that says, it stops here. It stops right here. It's going to stop with me. You know, like you said, your grandkids will not have a grandmother that will drink herself to death early. You know, that's the whole point of freedom in Christ. Mm-hmm. He releases us. You know, Because remember, he gives all of us free will choice. You know, but too often we say, well, everybody in my family does that. Or, you know, a lot of people in my family do that. Well, I've seen it done all my life. Well, just because you've seen it done all your life still does not mean it's always right. So
that's
I am looking forward to this series. I don't want to get ahead of you in your study, but I just want you to know that I am truly loving this, because how can we pray? How can we really, our family is our first ministry. So how are you going to minister to your family if you won't even acknowledge it has a problem?
Right. It's true.
How are you going to pray for your family if you want to keep your blinders on? So let's do a family spirit check, a family checkup, you know, and because God can turn all curses into blessings. We can be that
mm-hmm.
blessing. We can be that blessing.
Amen.
We can be the one that shows the one coming after us. It does not have to be that way. And this is how you do it. Now, someone might be within the sound of our voices that you don't know. You've just been doing your own thing all this time. But I came to tell you tonight, even in that, the Lord still loves you. He loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son so that you would not spend an eternity cursed in hell. And if you don't know Jesus in the pardon of your sin, Pastor Vanessa and I, we beseech you to stop and give your life to Christ right now, to call out to him, cry out to him, and let him know that it stops here and it stops now. And you don't have to say, well, I need to fix myself up, or, you know, I'm not, my whole family is this way and I'll be the only Christian. Well, you'll be the, you know, you, that means you're the blessing in the middle of the curse. But what you need to first do is get yourself in position to be just that. So you need to go and to the Lord and say, look, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. And when you tell the Lord that you're a sinner, he already knows that. That's why he sent his son. But you are acknowledging that you know that you have committed violation, that you have been living in your transgressions and your iniquity, and you are in need of him as your Lord and Savior. And then you need to ask him to, and let him know that the reason you're coming is because you know exactly who he is. You know that he is the Son of the living God. And you want him to come into your life and save you so that you can become all that he wants you to be. Like Pastor Vanessa said, we don't get all this knowledge and try to get all this understanding so we can walk around with it all closed up within ourselves. You are being blessed to be a blessing. So, and I can't tell you how to pray that prayer, but as long as you let the Lord know that you're ready to break some chains, you're ready to break some curses, that's all you have to do is give your life to him. And if you did that while I was speaking to you, however that had to sound for you, then you're saved. When you acknowledge Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Word of God says, if a man confesses with his mouth and believes in his heart that Jesus is the Son of God and he raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And just pray it in his name. Amen. So we just want to thank you all for listening tonight. And if you, you know, this is something you can think about throughout the week. And then when Pastor Vanessa comes again, you might have some questions that you might have thought of. Write them down. If you come across scripture in your study and you like to share, Pastor Vanessa would love to hear them. We are in this to win it together. So on behalf of myself and Pastor Vanessa, we just pray that you will continue to study to show yourselves approved. And I'm going to ask Pastor Vanessa to come back and pray. Hallelujah. And
okay.
We will close her program. Amen.
Amen. Father God, first of all, I just thank you today for your presence and how you love us, how strong you are, how faithful you are, how loving you are, how faithful you are to us, to this purpose. I thank you, Lord, today because you're worthy to be praised. You are the healer. You also give us more than enough. You're here, Lord, with us in all things, and I pray that we learn to acknowledge you in spirit and in truth, worship you in spirit
yes.
and truth, begin to trust you in that place to remove and to understand and to walk in revelation
yes.
and be active and empowered because of who we are. And I truly believe, Lord, that this will unmask the identity of who we're supposed to be for those
yes.
who are struggling with that. And for those who aren't, and it'll just redefine and strengthen you in a bigger way to understand
yes.
and that what God has done is absolute and what who we are is absolute. So I just thank you, Lord, today that those who hear will be blessed and continue to be blessed and that your word will sit with them in a place of power. And
yes.
That it will manifest in their life too as well in a place of peace and confidence in who you say they are and who you are. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Once again, we'd like to thank you, Pastor Vanessa. This is going to be a powerful, powerful series. We can already tell that. We pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed week, that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night from Pastor Vanessa. I'm Apostle Cook. Have a wonderful rest of your week. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone. God bless.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you.